John chapter 14, I want to leave with you the verse number 15, just one verse tonight. If ye love me, keep my commandments. If ye love me, keep my commandments. I want to consider with you tonight the subject, love to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it's not the first time in this upper room that we have met the word love. And it won't be the last time. It is used quite frequently throughout these chapters that we are looking at. In fact, this whole room, this whole upper room, and the hours that night are filled with the atmosphere of love. The atmosphere of Jesus' love for his disciples, and also their love to some extent for him. But the focus thus far has mainly been on Jesus' love. We remember how the chapter started, for chapter 13, how the upper room discourse was introduced to us. And there we were told that the Savior's love was perpetual. It was a perpetual love. It was an unchanging love. And we're told that when Jesus knew that his hour was come, verse 1 of chapter 13, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. So we see that the Savior's love just encloses the whole upper room. This discourse is out of his loving heart. And he's loving them now. He's loving them to the end, till his betrayal, until his death. And so it just saturates the whole atmosphere. And then we discover when we read on in the chapter that his love is a personal love, because it says there in verse 23 of chapter 13, there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. And so we're told that it's an unchanging love, perpetual, but now we're told that it's also a personal love, it's individual. And here's one, it's John, we believe, leaning on his breast around the table as they recline, and it says Jesus loved him. And then as he begins speaking in the chapter 13, and then in verse 34, we have his love here as a pattern. Verse 34, he says, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. So he's presenting his love as a pattern there. He says, I want you to love one another as I have loved you. So he's speaking mainly about his love. And he has mentioned also the love for one another. He wants them to love one another. So the whole atmosphere is breathing Christ's love for his people. And that's why there's an upper room. And that's why he spends this last night. And that's why there's this wonderful discourse. And that's why there's that marvelous prayer, and that's why he lets them hear that prayer in actual fact. It's because he loves them. But now, for the first time, Jesus turns to the subject of love for him. And he says, if you love me. And that's what I want to speak about. Love for the Lord Jesus is what he's introducing here, and I want to try to speak about that tonight as the Lord helps me. And the first thing that I would want you to consider is this, that the Lord Jesus, he wants to be loved. Love me. If we just take those words. He wants to be loved. And he wants to be loved with the strongest possible proof of it. Because if you love me, he says, keep my commandments. He wants to be loved truly. He wants to be loved sincerely. He wants to be loved really, fully and completely. I mean, he wouldn't have said this if he didn't want to be loved. He wants to be loved. And I think that's something we should think about. The Lord Jesus wants, he desires to be loved. He desires to be loved. And we all desire to be loved. That's true. But maybe we've never thought about it in the terms of our Lord Jesus Christ, that he desires it. This is a very abrupt verse in the discourse. It kind of comes suddenly, and it's maybe not the natural place where we would put it. You'll notice as I expounded these verses 12 to 17 this morning, I left out this verse. I didn't look at it. It just seems a wee bit out of place. It almost seems abrupt. But whenever you're talking about emotions and affections and about love, very often that happens. It doesn't kind of follow logic. It follows your heart. And the Lord brings it in because he wants to be loved in the right way. And I remind you of the context, because the context is the sadness of the disciples. The Lord Jesus is going away, and they're sad. But that's not the kind of love that Jesus wants. The kind of love that is sad when he's going away. He's been telling them what he's going away for. He's telling them it's good that he's going away. He's telling them it's for the Father's glory. He's telling them it's for them good. And they're sad. And they're sad, I suppose, because they love him. But the Lord Jesus doesn't want to be loved that way. He doesn't want to be loved with sadness. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. That's the way he wants to be loved. He's trying to tell them he's going to something greater, something better. He's not only going for himself, but he's going for them. And they shouldn't be sad, really. They shouldn't be selfish. They should be glad. They should be glad for him, and they should be glad for themselves. Sometimes what we think is love is not love. It's not love. Sometimes our love is just selfishness. He doesn't want to be loved selfishly for what we'll miss from him. He wants to be loved as Lord and Master. As far as he is concerned, there's only one proof of real, genuine love for him. And that's a love that manifests itself in obedience. Sadness is not proof that we love Jesus Christ. It's not the kind of love he wants. He wants a real, genuine love. A love that manifests itself in obedience. So the Lord Jesus doesn't just want to be loved with selfish sadness at the losses, but with a joyful, obedient service. And this business is often on Christ's lips in this chapter. For example, it says there in verse 21, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. Do you see that? He doesn't say he that's sad tonight because I'm going away. It's he that loves me. He doesn't say that. He says, it's he that keepeth my commandments. He loves me. And he says it again in verse 23, if a man love me, he will keep my words. All right, he brings it in again. That's three or four times he said, love me. If a man loves me, he'll keep my words. It's on his heart. It's something he wants to tell the disciples time and time again. It's what he wants. He wants to be loved right. And then verse 24, he brings it in negatively. He's been positive so far. He that has my commandments and keeps them. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. If you love me, you'll keep my words. But then he says it negatively in verse 24. He that loveth me not, he says, keepeth not my sayings. So he brings it in kind of negatively there. So the first conclusion is, he wants to be loved properly. He does. But then the second thing, further addition to that, is that not only does the Lord Jesus want to be loved, but he expects to be loved. He not only desires it, but he expects it. Now, as we've seen, the expression love me in this chapter 14 is often on the lips of the Lord Jesus Christ in the upper room. And so he reckons that it's right, it's normal, and it's fitting that he be loved. And you remember after the resurrection, whenever we read it tonight, he came to Peter, And one of the things, the thing that he really was concerned about when he came to Peter was he asked him that question, do you love me? Now there again, he's concerned about that matter, Peter's love. And he says to him, do you love me? Because he desires it. He desires it. And he expects it. And as far as he's concerned with Peter, it's the only qualification that he needs for service. Feed my lambs. Feed my sheep. And the only qualification he's interested in is love. Do you love me? He doesn't say, Peter, have you got the gifts? Can you preach great sermons, Peter? He doesn't say to Peter, are you a great organizer, Peter? He doesn't say to Peter, have you a wonderful personality? All he says to Peter is, do you love me? That's the only qualification. And so you can feed my flock if you love me. Because if you love me, you'll keep my commandments and you'll be feeding the flock right. And so before he commissions Peter, that's the matter he discerns and asks about and makes inquiry about, because that is what the Savior supremely expects. He expects that. That's the least that he expects, is that we love him. Do you love me? So he desires it, and he expects it. And we have to say tonight, brethren and sisters, why shouldn't he expect it? He's right to expect it. Did he not say, I have loved you? This isn't a selfish expectation on the part of Jesus. Jesus doesn't just do things to be seen, and he doesn't just do things to be adored. He does things lovingly. He does them because he loves. He loves his people. He doesn't do it for self-promotion and for self-glory. He doesn't do it just to appear great. He has a selfless love for us sinners. And that's rare in us, because our love is usually tends with selfishness and self-interest and ourselves. But Jesus' love was altogether different. And that's why this chapter is introduced. Having loved his own, he loved them on to the end. He humbled himself to wash their feet. That's how much he loved them. He stooped to wash their feet. This night when he could have been away thinking about his own cross and about his own troubles and getting alone with his Father to prepare himself, he just spent the time with them and he spoke to them. And why is he going to the cross at all? He's going to the cross for them. Having loved his own, he loved them to the end. And why is he going to the Father? He's going to the Father for them, to prepare a place for them. He's going to the Father to open up the throne of grace in prayer. He's going to the Father to obtain the Holy Spirit, to pour it out upon his people. This is why he's going to the cross and why he's going to glory. Having loved his own, he loved them to the end. He loves them. And this night he comforts them because he loves them. And he gives them the Lord's Supper because he loves them. And he breaks the bread and he gives them a cup and he says, this is my body, it's broken for you. This is my blood which is shed for you. Because he loves them. He loves them to the end. And he expects to be loved in return. And that expectation is just and right. We should love him because he loved us. And we do love him. We love him because he first loved us. It's a just and a right expectation. Love me. Love me. How could we not love such a Savior? And maybe if there's someone converted among us and have never had a love for Jesus Christ that's been true and real, How could you reject and spurn such love? How can you slate such love? How can you think so little upon such love? And how can it not touch your heart? And how can you not at least want to love Jesus? Whenever you think about his love for his people. And how can we believers not love such a wonderful Savior? Paul said, the Son of God loved me. And he gave himself for me. And because he really felt that, that's why he was the man that he was and the missionary that he was. Because the love of Christ constrained him. It constrained him. And so we should, the Lord expects it. And yet many times in the Old Testament to the people of God, the Lord has had to come and he's had to say things like, of the rock that begot thee, thou art unmindful and has forgotten God that formed thee. You've forgotten my love. You've been unmindful that I'm your father. You've been unmindful that I begot you. And one time he said to Israel, he says, Israel, I took you by the hands when you were a little infant. And I taught you to walk. I held you up by the hands and I taught you to walk. But you've forgotten me. You've forgotten the love I had for you. You forgot how I born you. You forgot how I carried you. You forgot how I taught you to walk. You forgot what I've done for you. Remember how he said to them, do you thus requite the Lord? Is that how you pay me back? Oh, foolish people and unwise. Is not he thy father that established thee and bought thee and made thee? Is it thus that you requite the Lord? The Lord expects to be loved. And when he's not loved, this is how he talks to us. Is this how you pay me back? Is this how you requite it? Is this what you give me? For all that I've done for you and for all that the love I had for you? As Isaiah puts it, hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord have spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, but they have rebelled against me. The Lord expects to be loved. Just like a parent expects their son and daughter to love them. They fed them. They reared them. They looked after them. They sat by their bed when they were sick. They wept over them when they went astray. They love them. And they expect their children to love them in return. It's a just and right expectation. And the Lord says, love me. Love me. And love me the way that I want to be loved and the way that's right. So it's something he wants. And it's something he expects. But then a third point is this word if. Because the Lord uses a wee if here, and it is an if. If you love me, keep my commandments. And so that sort of brings in an element of a question about our love, doesn't it? If. I mean, that very question to Peter. Whenever the Lord Jesus had to come to Peter that night and he had to bring that very question. There's a question about it. And the Lord said, do you love me? Do you love me? So there often is a question over our love. And that's brought out by the Lord saying this, if I want to be loved really and truly without any question about it, and this is how you do it, you keep my commandments, as we'll go on and see. But there often is a question over our love. And the verb love here is a continuous verb. It's a repeated action. It's a kind of a life pattern. It's a way of life. It's loving the Lord all the time, every day. It's a continual thing. In other words, it's not an emotional thing. It's not just you get a real high and you burst with love for the Lord. And we get those emotional moments. But when we really love the Lord, and we are more emotional, Whenever our hearts maybe are really troubled and the Lord comes and he comforts us and we get a high emotion and we really love the Lord at that time. Or maybe we get an answer to prayer, we get a deliverance and we're on a sort of emotional roller coaster and the Lord has intervened and delivered us and we really love him. It's a kind of an emotional sort of time and you can say, I love you, Lord. You've been so good to me today. You heard my prayer. I love you. The Lord's not talking about those emotional times. God's people don't live like that. We don't live on an emotional high roller coaster. That's not how we're meant to live. The Lord wants us to live a consistent life of just loving him every day. And the way that he wants. So the Lord's not talking about those emotional moments. You don't spend your life like that, as I say. You can't. The Lord's talking about practical, continual, ongoing, consistent love that finds expression in everyday obedience. He's not talking about getting worked up under a sermon every Lord's Day and we're going out every Lord's Day really loving the Lord. He's talking about Monday morning. He's talking about Wednesday afternoon in the middle of the week when it's been tough in the office. He's talking about Saturday morning whenever we're wind down and at our most relaxed perhaps. He's talking then about loving him in the way that he wants to be loved in this consistent pattern every day in practical obedience. That's what he's talking about. Continually kind of saying to ourselves, I mustn't do that today because I love the Lord. And I can't do that tonight because, you see, I love the Lord. And maybe we're sitting at home and our thoughts, and we're thinking in our thoughts, and we're thinking wrong thoughts, and it's kind of saying, I can't think like that because I love the Lord. Can't think like that because I love the Lord and the Lord doesn't want me to think like that and it's not right to think like that and it doesn't please him to think like that and I just can't think like that because I love him. It's a kind of that consistent mental way of thinking and living that the Lord is talking about. If you love me, this is what I want you to do. I want you to keep my commandments. I want you to be consistent. I want you to be right. I want you to live proper. And if we really examine our hearts and look at our lives, we really often have to question our love for the Lord, don't we? And we have to put an if. I mean, look at Peter. Whenever he denied his Lord, there was a question mark over his love, wasn't there? It wasn't that he just fell into sin. It was a public sin. It was deliberate. It was willful. It was repeated 3 times. And we just have to stand aghast at that. And we have to... Does Peter really love the Lord? How does he love the Lord and talk like that? How does he love the Lord and do that? If he loves the Lord, he wouldn't do that. There's often a question mark about our love. And we think things. And if people can see our thoughts... And if it was all put across the wall, the things that are going through your mind, and the people could see it, they would say, how can he love the Lord when he thinks like that? And if there were people who could see some of the places where we go to, and they would say, how does he love the Lord when he goes there? There's a question mark. If he loves the Lord, he wouldn't be here. If he loves the Lord, he wouldn't be thinking like that. If he loves the Lord, he wouldn't be going with that crowd. If he loves the Lord, he wouldn't be behaving like that. If he loves the Lord, he wouldn't be missing the meetings and sitting at home watching TV. If he loves the Lord, there's often a question mark about it. If you love me, if you love me. And so really, brothers and sisters, we need to hear this every day. If you love me. Whenever you're going to get angry... Whenever you're going to get angry with someone and grab them by the scruff of the neck, you need to hear these words. If you love me, if you love me. Whenever you want to get your own back and pay someone back for what they've done to you, you need to hear the words of the Lord. If you love me, if you love me. We need to hear these words all the time. If we're going to sin, we need to hear these words, if you love me. If we're going to walk out the church and not stay for the Lord's table, and maybe we're able to stay for the Lord's table, and there's not a just reason why we're going home, and we're able to stay for the Lord's table, but we don't want to stay, and we're going to go out, and we're not going to stay. But we should need to hear the Lord, if you love me, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, do this in remembrance of me. We need to hear these words all the time, because there's such a question over our love at times. Oh, I can't be bothered reading my Bible today. You can't be bothered reading your Bible today. Well, then you need to hear the Lord. If you love me, if you love me, you'll be in my word today. Oh, I can't be bothered going out to church today. I got a wee tickle in my throat. I think I'll stay at home today. I'll stay at home today. If you love me, if you love me. We need to hear this all the time, don't we? Because we behave in ways that are just not consistent with our love for Jesus Christ. You remember David? He saw Bathsheba, and he sinned. And we have to say, if you love the Lord, David, if you love the Lord, how can you do that? If you love the Lord, do you not know the Ten Commandments? Do you not know it says, I shall not commit adultery? If you love me, keep my commandments. But David didn't hear the Lord. He just went on out. You remember what he did to Uriah, Bathsheba's husband? He murdered him. Oh, he didn't shoot the arrows and he didn't throw the slingshots at him. But he gave a commandment, put him to the front. Put him to the front. That was just the same as pulling the trigger. There's more ways to kill a man than just to pull the trigger, I can tell you. You can shorten a man's life very, very easily. We can kill with a word. With a word. And you know something? Whenever David did that, we have to question, David, are you not the man who said, I love the Lord? He heard my cry. I love the Lord. He heard my cry. He had a high emotional roller coaster one time. He was in trouble and he cried on to God. And he says, oh Lord, I love you. I heard my cry. But now he's relaxing. And he's on the rooftop. And he's looking at a naked woman. And he's got caught. She's pregnant. He's trying to cover it all up. Cover it all up. If you love me. If you love me. You'll keep my commandments. And so there's often a question mark over our love for Christ. And I would like to get all seven words into your heart tonight, ingrained into your soul. If you love me, keep my commandments. But if I can't get all seven in, I would want to get at least the first four in. If you love me, I want you to hear these words every day when you're going to do wrong or when you're not going to do what's right. If you love me, and if you're tempted to go to such and such a place, that you'll hear these words, if you love me. And if you're tempted to say something that's wrong, that you'll hear these words, if you love me. If you love me. So I want the first four words at least to be engraved. I know that we could hear the Lord speak them to us every day, every situation that we find ourselves in, every time we think, every time we talk, every time we do something or we don't do something. That's the kind of love that our Lord desires. So he desires our love, he wants our love, he expects our love, and he doesn't want the question mark over our love. And so the proof of love, and this is the fourth thing, the proof of love, the Lord tells us how he wants to be loved. He tells us how he wants to be loved. It's very simple. Now they're sad, they're sitting depressed. They're sitting depressed, oh, our Lord's going away. And they think that that is love. They're not listening one bit to what he says. They're sitting depressed. They're sitting sad. They're sitting unbelieving. They're sitting with no comfort whatsoever in their hearts. And they think because they're sitting that way, they love the Lord. The Lord says, here's the right way to love me. If you love me, don't sit there depressed and uncomforted and half unbelieving. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Keep my commandments. And so he wants to be loved with the strongest possible proof of it. And this is real love to our Savior. We have often heard the expression, the proof is in the pudding. And this is the pudding that he presents. Keep my commandments. That's the life that removes all questions about a man's love. If a man is righteous and does right and keeps the commandments, that man loves the Lord. That man loves. I don't care what denomination he belongs to. I don't care if you tell me he's not a Free Presbyterian, he's a Baptist. I don't care. If he's living a righteous life, he loves the Lord, I tell you. There's nobody can live a righteous life until they love the Lord. There's nobody who live a life of sincerity and moral uprightness and integrity and honesty unless he loves the Lord. Now here's the life that removes all question marks. He does right. As I said, the Lord comes back to this theme several times throughout the discourse. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. Verse 21. Verse 23, if a man love me, he will keep my words. Verse 24, he that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. He doesn't care about them. They can go out the window. And we go through all the Sermon on the Mount. We go through every... And the Lord has given us commandments. There's 10 of them on the wall there. The Lord gives us commandments all the time. But we're more interested in the promises. But the Lord wants us to be interested in the commandments. Because being interested in the promises is not proof of love. It's proof of selfishness. Self-interest. But it's keeping the commandments that is proof of love. If you love me. He doesn't say, find out all my promises and claim them and get the check checked. Get all my promises checked and get them all for yourself. He doesn't say that. He says, if you love me. It's these things that I tell you to do that you'll be wanting to do. It's these things you'll be interested in. And so the Lord has commandments. And we should be interested in them. And if we love the Lord, we will be interested in them. And we will keep them. Discipleship is not get from Christ. But discipleship is give to Christ. If you love me, keep my commandments. So we should be interested in his will if we love him. And we should discover his will and know his will and do his will consistently. That's what the Lord Jesus desires. That's what the Lord Jesus expects. That's what the Lord Jesus deserves. And lastly, that's what the Lord Jesus rewards. Now you will observe here that love to the Lord is something that is rewarded by him. He says there in verse 15, if ye love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he'll give you the Holy Spirit. Because he gives the Holy Spirit to them that obey him. And if you love me, you'll keep my commandments, and I'll pray. I'll pray for those who love me. I'll pray for those who keep my commandments. Now, that doesn't mean we're saved by works. No, no, no. But it means we're truly saved and we love the Lord. And because we are his people who love him, he prays for us. Because only his people love him. And so he rewards this love. Verse 21, you will notice it again. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him. And I'll manifest myself to him. Do you see what Jesus says there? He says, the man who loves me, he'll keep my commandments. And you know something?
I love him. And my Father will love him. And you know something else? I'll come to him. And I'll manifest myself to him. I'll show him myself. I'll give him visits. Love visits. When's the last time you had a love visit from Jesus Christ? I'll love him. And I'll manifest myself. I'll come to him. And I'll manifest.
Verse 23, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and I will love him, and will come to him, and I'll make our abode with him. He's talking about the Father and the Son. He says, if a man loves me, he'll keep my words, and my Father and I will love him, and what is more, we will come to him, and we will make our dwelling place in that man. We'll live in him. We'll live in him. Are you and I a man that the Father and the Son lives in? Because we're bursting with love to Jesus Christ and we just want to keep his commandments. You know, the Christian who loves Christ is blessed. He's so blessed. The man of God who loves Christ is blessed and he's happy. The selfish, narcissistic person is miserable. But a man who loves Jesus Christ and keeps his commandments, the Lord is coming to that man and manifesting himself to that man, and that man is blessed. He's happy. He's got the Lord dwelling in him. The man who is only self is not happy. Not blessed. Just to love yourself, men and women, let me tell you this. Just to love yourself is the road to misery. It's the road to misery. The road to happiness is to love Jesus Christ. The road to depression is selfishness, is to love yourself, is to be narcissistic. And a narcissistic man is a miserable man, an unhappy man. A discontented man. But you see, the man who loves Jesus Christ, he's content. He's happy. He's blessed. Here's the road to blessedness, congregation. It's to love the Lord and to do right and to keep his commandments. That's the road to blessedness. That's the road to happiness. That's the road to beat depression. That's the road that the Lord Jesus gives to these troubled hearts. It's the road of obedience to his word. Show me a man who's happy, and I'll tell you this. That man is trying to keep the sayings of Jesus Christ. And so just love the Lord. Just serve him and do right. And so this verse is how we can love Jesus Christ and how we can have the blessed life, how we can have the life of God within us, full and overflowing. Just do right. Just do right because you love him. Because you love him. So if you love me, I hope I'll never forget that and hear it every day. And the rest of it, keep my commandments. Let us pray. We'll seek the Lord.